Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022.
Okay, now, this is actually a good day. It's a bold day. But it's not quite as hard as some, for God's sake. It's not as solid as some of the days that have been before it here. Can you hear it now? Let me check to make sure. Can you hear the audio now in the Zoom session? Really? Send help? Is that like you're stuck in the snow or something? No, I'm not going anything. Give me a second here. Let me kill this off here. Let me see if I can figure out if there's a same as the system. Okay, can you hear me now? Yeah, good one. Okay, I'm trying to figure out why the audio is being difficult with me today here. Hang on here. Maybe it's, give me a second here. Nope, that didn't do it. Let's try something else here. Audio is dead. Hang on. Is it now? Can you hear me now? Yes. Thank you. I suppose, you know, if you turn the microphone on, it actually works a little better sometimes. Okay, now let's get back to what we were doing here. It's not a spectacular bull day, but it is a solid up. The Dow is up a little bit, and then, of course, the S&P is up more, and following that same pattern that we see so frequently, the NASDAQ is up a strong amount, which usually gives us the idea that there is good news and it has more impact the smaller the companies are. Now, crude oil, look at that. It's broken the 90, and it is on a tear. It's going to find its way to $100 a barrel. Actually, probably, well, I shouldn't say probably, it looks like it's going to get there before I thought it would. I thought it wouldn't find 100 until the early spring. It's trying to find its way up there now. And there is some of that is reaction to what is growing sense that we are going to have a war in Eastern Europe, and also to the concerns that that has on global oil supplies. Regardless of whether we have our own oil supplies or not, whatever happens in the global oil supply is what's going to happen to our prices, our supplies and prices as well. Gold and silver are up somewhat. Now, the bonds are up, which means that their prices are down. So we've got some sell-off of the bonds, and that money is going to equities, and it's also going to metals. I'm not sure what that means, other than that it's just kind of like everyone's kind of confused. You have some running toward gold, some saying, well, let's just buy some equities because apparently the end is not here yet for the bulls, bull run and all that. London just drove downward through the day. And on the other side, Tokyo was just rolling upward, just a happy day for them. Tokyo seems to be behaving more like the American exchanges right now, indexes and stock exchanges right now. To the extent that that means something, not sure. But right now, I think you're going to find that anything that is European is going to be in a little bit more of a concerning position. Of course, Great Britain isn't Europe, but it has the same forces affecting it. So what the war that is building in Eastern Europe is going to impact Western Europe and Great Britain, possibly even I don't know. It's going to reach into Asia, too, to some extent, but I don't think it's going to worry the Japanese too much. It's not their problem, not their war, not in their turf, anyway. But anyway, so that's the story for the day on this. I'm going to go back to this here in just a little bit, but what was I going to have? Oh, no, I can't do that today. Stop the share. Well, let me go over here. Bear with me one moment while I look at something very quickly here. Nope, I'm not going to do that either. I'm going to have to do it a little bit of a different way. Why is this screen is giving me a lot of trouble today. Give me a second here. I don't know. I suppose I could just download it that way, but I would prefer not to. Let me go into the resources tab here. I'm going to pull this up one more time. Target. Just opening it one more time. Now, on an exam, I will give you some financial statements, and more than anything else, I want you to be able to identify specific things within them. For example, something that I might ask you to do is to find net operating working capital in for a company. I'll give you the income statement and the balance sheet and say, find net operating working capital for 2021 and find it for 2020 and tell me whether it went up or down. Did net operating working capital go up or did it go down? And what does that mean on free cash flow? Did it go up or did it go down? And that won't be too hard to do. All you have to do here, well, as a matter of fact, I'm going to do this. I don't think I'll even do it with Target so much. I did it with Target, I think. I can't remember whether I did it or not. Let me open this up. Bear with me one moment here. Okay, there we go. And I'm going to share the screen with all of you. Is this? Nope, this is not. I need to stop the share and then start the share on the Excel sheet. Okay, good. Now, what you would do in order to first get it working here. In order to get net operating working capital, you're going to take, give me one space here, 2021 and 2020. And you can open up your notebooks to work along with me if you wish to do this. So, net operating working capital, would be for 2021 would equal the total current assets minus the total current liabilities. And then if you know how to use Excel, all you have to do is just scoot that over, grab it by there, and you've got 2020. Right away. This is a good thing to do. As long as you do the formula correctly the first time, it saves you making a mistake trying to write a formula again. Now, the change is going to be equal to this one minus this one. So in the case of Target, their net operating working capital went up $2.2 billion. If it goes up, that means that it damaged free cash flow. Free cash flow went down by that much money. Let's take another example. I'm going to come over here. I'm going to stop this share. And then I'm going to come back up here and I'm going to open up the browser again. And this time what I'm going to do is I'm going to go sec.gov. And I'm going to pull up another company now. Filings, company filing search. Filings. Company filings. And we're going to look at Amazon, AMZN. Now, Amazon just reported earnings that didn't suck. We just got these. These are fresh. So we can see. Now, again, remember how you do this. Blue button. And you get a summary of them. And then you can download the Excel sheet. And say, okie dokie. Okay, so now I'm going to stop this share. And we're going to go back and we're going to look at Excel. That's Target. Did I actually pull down the... Okay. Let me do something here real quick. Why am I having a hard time minimizing this screen? I'm not understanding why I can't get this screen. Oh, there it is. It was in full screen. I didn't even thank you. Well, anyway, give me a split second here. Let me see if I actually pulled up the Excel sheets. No, I didn't. So I'm going to have to look at the downloads and see if I actually downloaded it. Yeah, there we go. There it is. So that's Amazon. So let me go back here now. And I'm going to pull up Amazon's... There it is. Now, come over here and share. There we go. Come over here. This is Amazon. They're what they just reported. This just came out. There we go. Good. So now let's see their change from 2020 to 2021. Let's look at their change in net operating working capital. And we'll do right here, NOWC. For 2021, it would be equal to total current assets minus total current liabilities. So it was $19.3 billion. Year previous, it was $6.3 billion, $6.3 billion. Okay, so now the change... would be equal to the current net operating working capital minus the previous net operating working capital. So their net operating working capital went up almost $13 billion. So that is a $13 billion drain on free cash flow. Now we're going to do something. Matter of fact, let's look at something here. I'm going to scoot back here. Statement of operations. Amazon net income by the accountants with $33.3 billion, $33.4 billion, up from $21 billion the year before. That's a massive increase in net profit. Now let's look at something that I showed you before. And let me get things scooted around here. I'm playing around too much with things. There's a consolidated balance sheet. I'm going to move that over here so that it's right here next to my statement of operations. Okay? Now I'm going to put in insert. And I'm going to find out what free cash flow was for Amazon for the year. Remember, they had a massive profit, $33 billion, up from $21 billion. Let's see what happened to the free cash flow, which is what we care about. Free cash flow. Okay, so net operating profit after taxes. Oops. Matter of fact, let me delete that. I'm going to say 2020. NOPAT, which is equal to operating income times the company's marginal tax rate, 1 minus 0.21, 1 minus 21%, which is the tax rate for all companies now. Okay? And then we're going to say plus their depreciation expense, which we don't see here, so we have to go over here and get that from the consolidated statement of cash flows. It's right there. Minus. Now we're going to need capital expenditures, which would be that much. But this is already a negative. So subtracting it would cause it to be a positive. So we're actually going to have to add it. Or there's another way you can do it. Absolute of this number. We'll do the same thing. And then finally, minus the change in net operating working capital, which was what we did here. Isn't that interesting? This company had a negative free cash flow. It had a massive profit, but it had a negative free cash flow. See, this is what finance people would care about. This company that looks like it's just doing better and better, gee gosh, darn it, that's awesome, and all that. It is actually not showing as much strength as one would expect. Now, then we go back and we would ask ourselves, well, what happened? Well, obviously, one of the things that happened was this right here. See it? It absorbed a large amount of cash into increased inventory. That was probably the biggest thing. Then, if we look over here at the free cash flow, we look over here at the statement of cash flows, they had a staggering bleed off of cash in capital expenditures. It's just staggering. So we have two factors that are no doubt the main cause of the negative free cash flow for Amazon. It spent a huge amount of money on property, plant, and equipment, and a huge amount of money building something like inventory. Let me go over here and take a quick look here. Um, Yeah, see it? Well, they drained a lot of cash, but then they put money into short-term securities. So that was a bigger one there. The receivables jumped too. So, but they did blow off their leases. No, I'm sorry. They didn't really change. This is not much of a change. They saved some money by increasing their accounts payable. And they also saved some money by increasing accrued expenses. In other words, bills that they say they paid that they didn't. So the net effect is clearly that they were burning money, building inventory, and they also increased their credit sales massively. That means that those were two things that could have generated cash. It says that they generated cash in their revenues, but they didn't. So ultimately, the final effect was that their free cash flow was actually negative for the last year. Whatever that means, it is not a good sign. So now, let's finish this up. And let's go back over here to Yahoo Finance. Let's see what their stock price did today. Come on. Okay. AMZN. Went up 15%. Isn't that interesting? The profit drove the market today. Pumped it up a massive amount of money. 15% on the so far today. And it's just beginning to tail off now. So what do you say? What would be the effect if you were an investment type? Give me a second here. Apparently I can't wake up. My other camera isn't working, so I can't really leave the station. If you were to be a long-haul investor, you see the stock price go up like this on a report that on its surface says, "This is incredible," but if you dig down and look inside, it looks incredibly not incredible. So the question would be, what would the long-term investor say about this kind, about Amazon? Should you buy more of it? What do you say? It's absolutely, it's overvalued. Does that mean that you get rid of it in your portfolio? Probably not. But this might be something where you might want to get rid of it now, and some of it, and use it for other investments. Now, obviously, Amazon is something that should be in a good portfolio. It's one of the FANG, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. And then there's the FANG Plus that has some other things in it, too. So then the next question is, well, wait a minute, though. Amazon is up 15% today. I should buy it now because it's going up. Now, what would your response to that be? It's going up. It's up 15% for the day. Yeah, I want, by the way, someone just commented about seeing Facebook. I want to go to Facebook here in a minute. What do you say? It's up 15%. Should I buy it right now? Why not? Short run. Why would I not buy it if it's up already 15%? Does anyone have a suggestion of why I don't buy it at this point? Yeah. Probably so. It's already got that profit. It has already been impounded in the price. The investors said, oh, my God, Zoom. They grabbed it. It's already pumped that information in. That's gone. So as you said, now comes the other side of it. It's going to start to ease back. It's going to back off. Now, I want to go over here, as someone had suggested, Facebook would be the next one. Let's have a look at Facebook, FB. Now that is not much of a drop-off, but at the same time, it's enough to be concerning. Now here's something, Meta. There's a problem here, and I don't understand this one at all. Why is Facebook not reporting a beta right now? I don't get that at all. It's got plenty of historical information to do that, but it's not showing a beta. Now, interestingly enough, okay, so we don't have that. Now, I'm looking at the P/E ratio. Now, this is, again, what I'll ask on a quiz or an exam. Probably this is exam material. What I do on an exam, just to give you a very specific understanding, to make it worth your while to be here today, is I show you a screen like this. I say, here's a screen. And then I ask you to give me some interpretations off it, what this means. In this case, I don't have beta, but I do have another measure of risk, which is P/E ratio. Now, what do you see about the P/E ratio for Facebook? Is that a bad or a good? It's not bad or good. But if you were to report on this, on the risk of this investment right now, what would you say? Is this a risky investment or is this more of a defensive investment? Well, it's high. It should be high volatility, but that P/E ratio was showing 30, below 30. Remember I said 30 and above is risky? Below 30 is relatively safe? Huh? No, you're saying beta. No, beta is the one at 1, it's right at the middle. And then below 1, and below. Now beta is our primary measure of risk. P/E ratio is normally a secondary measure. Usually it confirms beta, but sometimes they disagree. In this case, I don't have my primary beta, so I have to go to my secondary, P/E ratio. And in this case, this P/E ratio is actually registering Facebook as a relatively defensive investment. So what that seems to mean, and believe me, I'm no fan of Facebook and Zuckerberg and all that nonsense, but at the same time, this is a kind of thing where I would be more willing to pull away from Amazon, sell some of my holdings of Amazon, and if I wanted to stay in the FANG, I would probably move that to Facebook right now. Because I'm paying only $17 a share, $17 for each $1 of current earnings on Facebook. If I go back over here and look at Amazon, I'm paying almost $63 for every $1 of current earnings on Amazon. Again, that comment overvalued really does seem to be telling. See this here? See the beta? We have a beta for this one. Beta is above 1, risky. This P/E ratio is well above 30, risky. This is an investment that probably is not something that we are really that interested in buying into. But again, if I want to stay in the FANG, and there is no crime in staying in the FANG, believe me, I would probably shave my holdings of Amazon and move that cash into Facebook, because Amazon is probably overvalued now relative to its intrinsic value, and Facebook may be somewhat undervalued. One way or the other, though, This is the beginning of what we call portfolio balancing. You don't have to do this every day, but it doesn't hurt to keep an eye on your portfolio and move away from those investments that are worrying you and move the cash towards something that isn't. Now, as far as FANG goes, there's Facebook, Amazon, Netflix. So let's look at Netflix and chill. That's supposed to be humorous, for God's sake. The hell with it. Now, notice that both of these, the beta is near 1, the P/E ratio is near, it's a little above 30. The P/E ratio is kind of leveling, indicating a little more risk than beta is. But overall, these two are sort of holding around market portfolio. probably leave that one alone. Google, for God's sake. Yeah, by the way, you might want to grab 100 shares, a round lot of this, when you have the time, at $2,868. Well, that's a good mark. And here again, the beta is not being reported. That's weird. Why is that? But if you look at the P.E. ratio, somewhat below 1. But look at that. It's somewhat below 1. Okay. Now, there is talk scuttlebutt out there that Google is going to, Alphabet, G-O-O-G, is going to do a stock split. So let me take it like this. I can't walk too far here, but a stock split. Have you, sir, what do you think of a stock split? Do you have any sentiments about a stock split?
I don't know what it means.
It means that they would take each one share and turn it into 2 shares, or 3 shares, or 4 shares. Now, the theory of that is that this makes the stock more affordable to small investors. So that should mean that the stock price should jump on that, because more small investors can buy the stock. Here's the thing about that. It's complete bullshit. Because small investors mean absolutely nothing to the overall investment in a company of this size. Those small investors, and also another thing, is that these days, did you know that you can buy fractions of shares of companies? You can actually, most brokers will let you can buy a tenth of a share of Google. And so why would you worry about a stock split meaning anything whatsoever? That's like saying, well, I'm going to take this dollar of yours, I'm going to turn it into 4 quarters, and so I've done a 4-to-1 split for you. Isn't that more valuable now? It's not. But Google may actually do a stock split here in the near future. One way, and so what kind of a stock split would they do? Well, I heard a rumor that they're going to do a 10 for 1, which would mean that there would be 10 times as many shares, and each one would be 1/10 of the value that it is right now. Yeah, go ahead.
Do the big players in the market care about stock splits? Does it not affect anything?
No, they don't. What they do, here's the thing that they'll try to do, and I did this in my time too, and traders do it now. I'm a broker, and I'm managing people's accounts, actively managing, and I call my clients on the phone, and I say, you know, Google just did a 10-for-1 stock split. This could be a real buying opportunity for you right now. And you'll get a lot of investors, wow, you mean I get 10 shares of Google for every one? Yes, go ahead, buy for my portfolio right now, by God. I did it. I split stock on companies just to pump the price up a little bit. See, because what would happen is I had a company that was going off at about $45, $40 a share. I did a 4-for-1, so it made it $10 a share. And then I called everyone, it's $10 a share now. And so what happened was the stock price did have a spike up to 12. So everyone says, well, a stock split means that the stock price goes up. That's a good sign that it's going to go up. It's a good sign because it is complete window dressing. Eventually, the stock price settled back down to the equivalent of $40 a share. Yeah, that's what it's about. I'm glad you asked that, though. That's our regular game with that kind of with stock splits. Oh, shut up. So take that for what it's worth. Now, if you are interested in this, well, by all means, the FANG and the FANG Plus. Let me do something here. Tesla. T-S-L-A. Tesla is roaring upward. Now. Okay, now, let's try this again. Okay, what say you, ma'am? is looking at the measures of risk. Is this a safe or a risky investment? You better believe, I mean, my God, a beta of 2? Well, that's making my nose bleed. And the P-E ratio of 189, well, that's giving me cramps. I mean, that's almost making me have cancer. That's staggering. A trader yesterday, he said he manages clients' accounts, and he's a retail trader, and he said that this couple, about 65, they got $1 million just came to them, so they want to put it into stocks. And they immediately, and he said, okay, well, $1 million will get us a lot of, you know, diversity in the portfolio and all this kind of stuff. And they said, oh, well, 80% of that goes into Tesla. You can handle the other 20%, but by 800,000, that's Tesla, because that's just such an incredible company. Now, here was the problem: appropriateness of investment. You should not be allowing, or you should be advising against people based upon their age doing things that are not commensurate with their position in life. These are people who are going to rely on that, the income, capital gains and dividends, for their retirement. And putting them into a risky investment, they don't live long enough to recover if that thing goes south. And in this case, notice another thing. This company doesn't pay a dividend, which means that there is going to be no dividend income from this. Now, that's the next thing that I'm going to do here, and I'm probably going to, since my camera is being a butt right now, I'm going to have to put this up like this and then point it over here. See if I can have the crowd see what I'm going to do here. The total gain on a stock, and I don't know if you can even see that or not. Let me stop this share right now. Yeah, I guess you can see it, sort of. The total gain, I'm going to hurt something I care about, is the capital gain as a yield plus the dividend yield. That's your total gain when you are investing. Now if you can't, let me see if there's anyone beefing at me in the chat. So, in other words, you're going to make money possibly two ways: on the stock price going up, and then you're going to make money off the dividend that you get. This is safer. This is riskier. Because the dividend, it's sort of like you put money into the stock, and this is probably going to come to you. It's not a guarantee. The board of directors decides if they're going to give a dividend. Now, once a company starts giving a dividend, it really needs to keep giving that, because it'll piss the investors off if you've been giving a dividend and then you stop giving it. Even worse, just as bad, is that once you start giving a dividend, there will be an expectation that that dividend will increase a little bit every year. So it's once you start doing that dividend, it's not like something that you would really want to stop doing unless the company was in a lot of trouble. As a matter of fact, some companies, they will actually lose money, but they'll still pay their dividend because they don't want to honk off their investors. Their classic, the car company, I won't mention which one it was, it was bleeding, I mean, massively. But it still kept paying the dividend because it wanted to appease the shareholders. Of course, the capital gain, the stock price was dropping through the floor. So, in other words, if you were to look at Tesla, the only way you make money off Tesla is through the capital gain. So, in other words, let me do one here. Well, no, let me pull one up here. And I'm going to do something that's kind of a nasty, kind of a dirty thing to do here. Let me go here. Now, let me get one, a company that pays a dividend. Ford. I think Ford's still losing money, isn't it? Huh. No, it's actually, okay. It's doing okay. Okay, so now let's look at this. Now, this will be something that will be on the first exam, possibly on a quiz. By the way, I'm going to give you a surprise quiz on Monday, okay? Please act terribly surprised by it. But we look at this. Ford right now it's selling at $17.86. One year from now, this Yahoo projection is 21.59%. So in other words, the holding period return, which is also the annual yield because it's exactly one year, we don't have to worry about that more complicated formula, is going to be 21.59 divided by 17.86 minus 1. Doing that calculation, 21.59 divided by 17.86, and I know that you can't see this at home, I didn't switch it over, minus 1, is a capital gain of 20.88%. So that's 20.88% is the capital gain projected on Ford for one year. Now, the dividend yield, if we pull that back up here and look at the dividend, the dividend is 40 cents divided by 17.85. In other words, this is the dividend. If you pay $17.85 right now for one of these shares, you would get a 40-cent dividend, which means that the yield is 4.40 divided by 17.84, which is 2.01%. So the total gain on this stock projected for one year would be 22.89%. Now, is that what's going to happen? Well, if anyone actually knew that, they wouldn't be working for Yahoo. But it's still, yeah, there you go. So when you have a company that pays no dividend, the only thing you can rely on is the capital gain, which means that you are relying, that makes it automatically a riskier stock right there. The more of it that is a dividend, the less risky it is, all other things being equal, because you've got more certainty. Stock price can go up, down, all over the place, but companies do bust their butt not to have the dividend taken down. So in this case, I don't know what Ford's going to do, but I do know that if I put in $17.86, at least I'll get a 2% dividend off, 2% yield on my money, probably. At least I know that much. That's all I have for you. I thank you.